Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to take the words from Galatians as our text today, for there St. Paul declares, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel." But before we get to this important verse, I'd first like to tell you a little story about Stan. Stan had waited all afternoon to get home from work, to get out of the heat, to kick off his shoes, to sit down and watch the ball game. His team was playing a division rival, and Stan lived for this. He plopped himself down in his recliner without spilling his favorite cold beverage. And then Stan used his remote on his widescreen TV to find the channel. And he sat back and he thought to himself, you know, this is the life. Stan anticipated no interruptions. He knew he wasn't going to answer the phone. He knew that his wife was out happily shopping for hours. The kids were spending the night with neighbors, and Stan had the whole house to himself. Stan watched 9 innings of great uninterrupted baseball. His team staged a dramatic comeback in the bottom of the 9th inning to tie the game. He ran to the restroom during the commercial break, and then he grabbed another cold beer as his team warmed up their stud closer. This guy threw heat. He had a 97-mile-an-hour fastball with good movement on it and a 92-mile-an-hour slider with a wicked break as it crossed the plate. And Stan thought the momentum had shifted in his team's favor. Stan was enthralled with the game as his wife Judy came home with arms filled with shopping bags. As she put things away, Judy began talking to Stan, assuming that he was hanging on her every word. Now, Stan was usually a pretty good listener, so Judy had no idea that her husband had suddenly become hearing impaired by watching baseball. Anyway, Stan must have cleared his throat or nod affirmingly at some point, because Judy was given the impression that Stan was actually listening to her, even though in reality she was having a conversation with herself. And so Judy continued her discourse, never realizing that she would have had much better luck communicating with the dead. After the game, Judy brought up the mutual decisions that had been reached during the ball game, about their completely redecorating the house and purchasing all new furniture. Stan had no idea that they had discussed these things or that he had made any such promises. But Stan took the easy way out, and he smiled and he agreed to everything, since he was too embarrassed to admit to his wife that he had not heard a word that she said. Now, we can all relate to this story because we've either been on the giving end or the receiving end of this kind of inattention. We have all sensed when people were distracted and were not listening to us, and at times we too have pretended to listen to others without actually hearing what was being said. Husbands often don't understand how their wives feel when we don't listen. But how do you think our wives feel when our defective Y chromosome kicks in and we reduce the important things that our wives are trying to communicate to us down to blah, 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 blah? And though stereotypically men are the ones known for their selective hearing, sometimes women aren't much better. Wives don't always listen to the things that are important to their husbands because, as a rule, women aren't interested in the things that fascinate men, like box scores in baseball or box wrenches or boxing or any other number of things. And so, whether we're male or female, all of us have felt unloved or unappreciated or disrespected when people, particularly our spouses, don't listen to our words or opinions. And similarly, we have insulted others when we have ignored their words. Let's face it, we get angry, we get hurt when others don't listen to us. And yet, everything that we have to say is pretty meaningless and trivial next to God's word. And so the question becomes, how do you think God feels when we fail to listen to his word? It angers God when we ignore his word. And yet too often we pay little or no attention to what is being proclaimed from that lectern or from this pulpit. We act as if the words being read to us or being preached to us were no different than all the other words which we find it so easy to ignore. And it is for this reason that Paul reminds Christians, "For I would have you know that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel." That is, not men's words. Why do we often ignore God's word when we know it's a sin against the third commandment? In part, it's because even Christians have a rebellious remnant of sin left within us, which sometimes causes us to be disobedient to God and to disregard his word, sometimes when we don't even want to. But beyond these more obvious spiritual reasons, there are also some sociological reasons why we ignore all words, including God's words. Think about it. There has been such a proliferation of words in our computer age. As a result, we have all been forced, in a sense, to become selective hearers. We joke about husbands when they do this, but all of us have developed this kind of selective hearing in our Wi-Fi society because we are bombarded by thousands of words and images daily. Each of us has become highly selective about what we pay attention to because we know we can't possibly read or hear or observe every word that finds its way into media or print. There's just been an explosion of words, and none of us can possibly read all the information that is out there. And so, almost as a matter of survival, we've been forced to quickly prioritize the things that are said to us and the words that are put in front of us, and we quickly tune out those things that we consider useless or irrelevant. The internet has not only taught us to disregard words, but it has made it easy to discard words. When unwanted words called spam pop up on our homepage or reach our inbox, we simply push a button and delete them. Advertising, too, has taught us to be suspicious of words and their claims. Without even realizing it, many of us have become very cynical about words. Words have lost their value in our society, just like money loses its value when the U.S. Treasury prints too much of it. And here's the point. Whether we realize it or not, as Christians, we are children of postmodern skepticism. And the contempt we have for words in general has transferred onto our attitude about God's words. We find ourselves treating God's words contemptuously like we treat all words. There are so many trivial and meaningless words swirling all around us that we have forgotten that the words we listen to in church are different. They are profound and sacred words from God. Even though God's words are comprised of syllables and sentences and linguistic structure and syntax, like ordinary human writings, there is nothing ordinary about the combination and composition of these words. For these words are from God, just as the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is from God. We need to reassert that the Bible is the infallible, the inerrant, and the verbally inspired word of God. This means that God wrote the Bible, though he did it through men as his instruments. And we cannot afford to dismiss these words, to disregard them, to defy them, to deny them, to delete them, without grieving the Holy Spirit who lives within us and endangering our salvation. We must be careful, for while the Bible may look and sound like the words of mere men, they are in fact words from God that we should be paying closer attention to. God not only authorized his apostles and prophets to write the Bible, but God's Spirit also divinely guided men to write exactly, word for word, everything that God wanted us and all humanity to know about God. Speaking of this to the congregation in Thessalonica, Paul says, "And we thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the words of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." For this reason, Paul tells Christians to pay singular attention to the gospel that he preached. For the apostle goes on to say that he did not invent this gospel, he did not receive it from others, nor was he taught it. But instead it came by a direct revelation given to him by Jesus Christ. Paul often emphasized that God had given him this special revelation concerning Christ. And I think the reason is that perhaps Paul understood that since the gospel is expressed in human words by a human preacher, that others might draw the conclusion that it was only a human message. How do we know that the Bible is God's word? The Bible has its own unique power to convince your heart of its authenticity. While there is much external archaeological evidence to prove that the Bible is neither fable or fiction, the Bible has its own unique internal witness that convinces our hearts that what we are reading and what we are hearing are the very words of God. For the Holy Spirit works faith in us as we hear this word of Christ and converts us into believers. That is why we should pay attention to the word. While the origins of the Bible are somewhat defensible intellectually, unlike any other human writing, the Bible has its own peculiar authority to convince us that it is real and from God. When Paul says that the gospel he preached was not man's gospel, what exactly did he mean? The gospel literally means the good news. And the good news for us Christians is that God became flesh in Jesus in order to pay for our rebellion against God and to restore us to a right relationship with God. And it is only because of this gospel, which Paul was authorized to preach, that you and I now enjoy peace with God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. For this same Jesus died in our place in payment for our sins upon the cross. And this same Jesus God raised from the dead. And by trusting in Jesus as our God and Savior, we are free and we are forgiven. And we receive the promise in Christ that even though we die, we will live with him forever in the joys of heaven. What Paul was saying when he said his gospel was not from men is that he had been given the authorized solution from heaven. While other world religions offer their solutions, and heretical imitators of Christianity offer various counterfeit forms of the gospel, it is only our gospel that was not invented by men, but handed down directly to us through Paul by Jesus Christ himself. In closing, one fact that has always personally convinced me of the gospel's authenticity is that it comes at the question of God from a completely different perspective than all other religions. Every other religion apart from Christianity claims to have its own version of the good news to offer the world. But their good news is not really good news at all. For every world religion apart from Christianity is a religion of works. It has man earning his way to heaven, or achieving his own state of spiritual tranquility. It is only that gospel that was authorized by God through Paul that offers us God's free grace, that offers us God's undeserved and unearned forgiveness in Christ. Our hope is in Christ's doing and in his dying, completely apart from our attempts and efforts to achieve salvation. Simply put, every man-made gospel is not good news, because every other gospel makes heaven dependent upon human performance and human achievement. Man-made gospels teach that we must strive to ascend to God and to heaven through what we do. It is only the authorized gospel that Paul preached, received from Jesus, that teaches that instead of us ascending to God through our works, that God came down and descended to this earth to do everything for us, so that it's through faith in what Christ has done that we will enter heaven. And so, my friends, the gospel is a different word. It is a word from God. It is a word of good news. It is a word worth listening to. The gospel tells us of God's love and favor for each one of you in Christ. And unlike all other words, the gospel holds out the true promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us always cling to that gospel for our salvation. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.